Jacob, welcome to Talk Satellite.
Hi, pleasure meeting you again, Kevin.
I guess the important news for Spacecom is that Amos 17 successfully launched.
Yeah, absolutely. We're getting very excited with Amos 17. So this is, as you know, a brand new satellite with digitizer and Gen 6 of Boeing. So we are very, very excited to have this satellite with us.
Yes, and that satellite will be utilized in an advanced digital processor platform. How will this enhance your service offerings?
Okay, so the digital processor enhancing our offering in few ways. First of all, we are going to get a very effective rate between the megabit and megahertz. So the efficiency for the customer is going to be much higher than a standard satellite. That's one thing, and this is the most important one. The other thing is that we are going, it is possible to eliminate all interferences that are coming from other customers. So in a traditional satellite, if one customer transmits, it can interfere with another one. With the digital processor, he cannot do that. He can only interfere to himself, but not to other customers, which is a very good feature that allows us to provide the very high quality. The other thing is that connectivity between all the beams outside Africa and outside Europe, Middle East, India, China, we can connect every band with every band, every beam with every beam. So, for instance, we can uplink in C, downlink in KU, vice versa. And we have three-band satellites, also KA, and everything can be mixed. It gives a lot of flexibility to us to meet customer needs that sometimes need such connectivities. So that's basically the main thing of the digital platform.
So the satellite will have coverage over Africa, Middle East, and Europe. Where in terms of verticals do you see opportunities?
So the main verticals, I would say, are the mobile MNOs, the mobile network operators that will use the satellite locally for backhauling. We can see also the ISPs that can use it locally and also to bring internet connectivity from Europe or from anywhere else outside Africa. We can see government usage, especially for the KA, but not only. So the government is a very important sector for us. And even if you will laugh, also the broadcasters. They are still there, because some of them are moving into OTT and IPTV and other means. But the satellite in Africa for the broadcasters are still a mean of transmitting and broadcast to a lot of populations that are not connected and will not be connected in the next decade or so. So these are also potential customers for Amos 17.
We have some markets for satellite experience price pressure and other challenges. What's your take on the health of the satellite industry as a whole?
Well, yeah, it's not a secret that geo satellite operators are getting, I would say, a difficult time in the last 3 to 4 years. And they will have to find out other ways to do a good business. I would assume that some small operators be merged and purchased by big operators, or doing some acquisitions between two small and medium operators. I would say that also the MEO constellations that we are seeing quite a lot of them at the moment are getting more and more attention, but I'm not sure that the business cases for the majority of them will sustain. So O3b of SES is a good example, but not many succeed like O3b.
Lots of change in the market, you know, with HDS, LEOs and MEO constellation satellites. It's become the much larger entity. What's your take and how it's all going to play out?
Well, I would say the following. I think that geo constellations, satellites, will continue for many, many years. And this is a traditional mean of transferring data and video. Say the investment that is needed to replace them on the ground is very, very high. So I think that geo constellations will continue to survive many, many years, although you see a lot of people saying that they are going to disappear, at least some of them. I guess that the MEO constellation will be complemented to the GEO-1. And as I said, I think that T2, maybe 3, but not more, will survive and sustain and will do a good business. And I think that at the end of the day, it will be a mixture of MEO and the GEO satellite. HTS, and we have on MO-17 a brand new C-band HTS, is something that is definitely taking a lot of advantages and bringing a lot of advantages to the market. But I still think that some satellites will continue with wide beams and will go on the traditional way because of several applications that still need a wider coverage, like maritime.
In another life, in interviews such as this, we used to discuss antennas and in terminals. These days, there seems to be a great deal of focus on new offerings in this field that will open up a whole new dynamic for satellite. What's your take on where that antenna development is at the moment and where it needs to be to have a significant impact on this for satellite players?
I think that the HTS satellites provide antenna manufacturers a lot of advantages because the satellite has a lot more power on the transmit and on the receive, and therefore the terminals can be squeezed into small sizes, which is an advantage, of course. I think the other thing that the antenna manufacturers has to put some attention is to reduce the cost. At the end of the day, if you want a massive market, you need to reduce the cost of the flat panel antenna so people can afford it.
Jacob, thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Kevin.